All right, let's take our Bibles this evening. We're going to turn to two passages. Turn to Acts chapter 12. We were looking at that verse this morning. And then we're going to look at Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 12 and then Acts chapter 18. There was a Sunday school teacher and was in the process of teaching the Ten Commandments to her third grade class. And she was reviewing and said, you know, we learned the commandments. Honor thy father and thy mother. And then she looked at the third graders and said, is there a commandment that refers to your brother and sister? And one little kid raised the hand and said, thou shalt not kill. And I thought that was appropriate. We're going to be talking about brothers and sisters, actually, this evening. We've been talking about marks of a great church. And we talked about great purpose. 2 weeks ago, we talked this morning about great church. Marks of a great church is great persecution and also great peace. But then tonight, we're going to see the mark of a great church is having great families, having great families. In Acts chapter 12 and verse, 24. Yes, Acts 12, 24. This is kind of a theme verse for all of our messages in the book of Acts. Theme verse, Acts 12 and verse 24. Let's read it together. But the word of God grew and multiplied. What we're asking God to do is take our church, take us individually, and make the word of God grow and let it multiply. Multiply in us. Then let's turn to Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18. And Jonathan, name we did not pick this because of your recent marriage. We're going to actually learn about the righteous Priscilla. And so there'll probably be a lot of conviction, all right, because you'll see a lot of differences, all right? all right, but you can just, you know, deal with it. Deal with it, have her get right, all right? But Acts chapter 18, look at verse 1. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. And found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. And because he was was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. Then go down to verse 18. It says, and Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while. Most believe that here in Corinth that he stayed about a year and a half. And Paul and Aquila and Priscilla worked together. It says, and then took his leave of the brethren and sailed thence into Syria. And with him, notice, Priscilla and Aquila went with, having shorn his head. We're not sure there. Jonathan, I was thinking that might refer back to Priscilla. That could be a thing that you might want to do. Having shorn her head and sent Crea, for she had a vow. I think that could be either way if you want to do that. But then in verse 19, and he came to Ephesus and left them there, but he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. So we see that we believe it was about a year and a half that he was in Corinth. Aquila and Priscilla were there. And then Paul sails on, he moves on. And it seems as though Aquila and Priscilla, they picked up and they moved with Paul to the city of Ephesus. Then down in verse 24, it says, and a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, all right, and that's below, that would be in Egypt, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. We're going to look at a mark of a great church. And one of the marks of a great church is great families. We're going to take the life of Aquila and Priscilla. It's nowhere stated that they had children. Okay, but they're a family. We know that husband and wife, they're working together here. And it takes more than great programs to have a great church. And we have a lot of things that go on. We have bus ministry. We have gel ministry. We have Jolly 60s. We have TNT. We've got an academy. We've got a college. We've got all kinds of things going on. But that doesn't necessarily make you a great church. Great church is not just hard workers and sacrificial servants, although that's part of having a great church. And we work hard. We've worked hard on our buildings. We could go back, and Carl and I have talked about this. We try to forget. You know, we have to sit in here often in this auditorium, but those of you, Jim, those of us that put a lot of time in this auditorium, we twitched for about 2 years, all right, sitting in this auditorium. All right, we tried not to think back to that one summer, the torturous summer where we all did. And that's why it never really bothers me when a light twitches on and off up here, because I'm surprised that the ceiling is holding. All right, most of you, all right, I'm surprised that the platform hasn't fallen down, all right, because most of us put in a lot of time and a lot of hours, all right, and hard work is something that is important, and sacrifice is something that is important, but that's not all that makes a great church. Offerings are important, giving, and we have sacrificed in the area of offerings and givings and tithes and offerings that It's important. And it takes more than I wrote this down. It takes more than a positive, I could hold it, prolific, powerful, prestigious pastor. But you could always pray that you get one. All right? But it takes more than that. What is it? One of the things that makes up a great church is great people. Great families. Here is Aquila and Priscilla, and they are mentioned. If you look them up, you'll see that they're found six different times. You can find them in the book of Acts. You'll find them in Romans. We'll look at one of them in Romans, and we'll probably look at one in 1 Corinthians 16. You'll see that they're mentioned six different times. They are mentioned more than some apostles, Aquila and Priscilla. But when you look at their life, there's not a lot that's mentioned. They're almost like nobodies. But they were very important. And I think many times we come into a church and the church gets built around a pastor. And they're like, oh man, a pastor. Man, I want to go there. And you know what? That's great to have a strong pastor. But you know what? What would it be to have a strong pastor and there's nobody here? Like, you don't know what I am. I mean, I was throwing it down. I was expounding the scriptures. Yeah, to nobody. Because what does a church take? It takes people. It takes families. And sometimes I think we almost seem like, oh, it's just, you're just a family in the church. No, 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 no. No, you're an important part of this church. And it takes families, it takes people here that come together united. And God uses that. And then there's strength. There's strength in that. Let's open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to meet. And Lord, as we've been looking in the book of Acts, pray that you would help us as we study it. Help us to look at our own lives. Help us to look, Lord, it could be that some folks, they're past the childbearing age. Lord, they see a couple here, husband and wife. Lord, they were just sold out to you. And Lord, there's others that maybe they're just married. Lord, help them to look at this couple as an example to pattern their future life. Lord, those that have children, help us to be looking at it. Lord, help us to understand that we can be an important part of this church. Lord, speak to hearts. We claim your power. In Jesus' name, amen. We have a great example here in our text in Aquila and Priscilla. I believe God intended for the Christian life to have, in some sense, to be a family affair. The Bible teaches that it's important for families to serve together and to love God together. The Philippian jailer, remember in Acts 16:31, it said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And then there's a little phrase, and what? Thy house. I think God wants salvation, and I think he wants serving of the Lord to be not just for you as an individual, but as you grow and then you have a wife, if you're a man, or if you're a lady and you gain a husband and then you start to have children, God wants you as a family to include Jesus there and to be part of a strong church. Remember John the Baptist, the family of John the Baptist. It says, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord. He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. John the Baptist, we see his family. They were strong. They were serving the Lord in the temple. We can see Elizabeth was carrying John, and Mary walks in, and the babe leaped in her womb because he was filled with the Holy Ghost. We see that Zechariah was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied. Paul's protege, Timothy, came from a godly mother who raised him by herself. And it should be our job as families, as husbands and wives. And if we don't have children, then it's just us two together, just my wife and I then, and we are trying to serve the Lord. And if we have children, we're trying to train them up in the way they should go. Looking at the life and the family of Aquila and Priscilla tonight. Aquila and his wife Priscilla, it says here, it gives us a little bit in the text, but then you have to look up a little bit in history. But they're introduced in our narrative here in Acts chapter 18. And it says that they meet Paul in Corinth. You saw that in verse 1. But then it mentions that he was born in Pontus, which was in Italy. And then it makes this phrase, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome. Well, that gives us a time frame. When you look up in history, we know that that was 52 A.D., and in 52 A.D., a man came on the scene named Claudius, and there was some dispute. They don't know what. There's speculation about the dispute, but something happened with the Jews, and it made Claudius mad, and he didn't want them around, so he expelled all the Jews out of Rome, said, get out of here. And so that's why Aquila and Priscilla had to move. And we see that they end up in Corinth. So we're going to look at three ingredients of a great family. Three ingredients of a great family. I think first off that we see that a godly family is concerned about salvation and not socializing. A godly family is concerned about salvation and not socializing. Now, let me go into the story. I really believe it's not in the context, but as I was studying it with Aquila and Priscilla, and as I look at it, I believe that Aquila and Priscilla were brought by providence to Corinth. And that's what you can always trust. You can trust in God's leading. Because Aquila and Priscilla, they were Jews. They were following the law. They were trying to be good Jewish, good Hebrew people. But God stirred it up, and they had to get out of there. And it just so happened when they landed in Corinth that there was a man that was saved, and he was making tents. And his name was Paul. And I believe that Paul was working alongside. You see that he found Aquila and Priscilla, and they were of the same train. They believe when it says tent making, it was most believed that it was in tents, but it was also in the trade of leather. And so here Paul was in his trade doing a lot of things, and he meets Aquila and Priscilla, and guess what he starts doing? What all of us should do when we're working with people. I think he started witnessing to them. Hey, you know what? And remember, Paul, according to Philippians, was what? A Hebrew of the Hebrew. Oh, he was schooled in the knowledge of the law. And so he could sit and talk with Aquila and Priscilla. And so then as he was talking to him, conviction came. And I believe Aquila and Priscilla trusted in the Lord. And then guess what their concern was? Guess what they wanted to do? Did they want to keep on working? No, I think that was a side thing. Did they want to go out and socialize? No. I think that you see in our passage here that what consumed Aquila and Priscilla was, let's get people saved. And a quality of a good family. Mom and dad, first off, when you have children, you should be begging God that God brings them to a point of repentance. If you don't pray for your children for salvation, and that seems mundane, you may say, oh, that's silly, but no, no, no. There's some people that you almost think you're almost Calvinistic in your theology. You're almost Reformed in your theology. The Reformed say that, you know, I can be born into salvation. I don't believe that. I believe that all have to come to repentance. And even every one of my children had to come to a point that they saw their sin as putting Jesus on the cross. And the same has to be true in your house. In your house, your children need to understand what sin is. And that means that one very important thing that you must do is, Dad, you are a representative of God. And as God, they need to see you as God the Father judging sin. Not in a harsh way, because we know that God the Father, He loves us and He has mercy upon us. But God the Father, He does not tolerate sin. So Dad, when you let sin go, you may be dooming your son. You may be dooming your daughter to not understand true repentance, because God does not let sin go. And when you just say, oh, no, no, that's not a big deal. Oh, no, that teacher. And you start excusing and you start accusing everybody else and you will not deal with the sin, you might be dooming your family, dooming your children to damnation. You see, I think they were concerned about salvation, not socializing. And shouldn't it be true as a family, as we get together and then we're saved here, Aquila and Priscilla, don't you think that then as they grew in the Lord, their concern was reaching out to others and seeing people saved? And shouldn't that be as a family you do that? Shouldn't you be praying for others? Shouldn't you be having, as a family, you're working together and you're trying to get people to come in and get saved? As a family, it's enjoyable to work together as a family and pray together as a family and say, hey, let's get this person. Let's pray for them. Let's see if they'll get saved. Some of you are like, oh, what's that? Well, try it as a family. Try it as a family, because what you find in the Bible is here is a couple that is so concerned about salvation that they pick up roots. And then they move to Ephesus. Why? Because Paul needed somebody to help him. You know, we need a revival in homes and families that are getting serious about seeing others saved. I think that sometimes we just let that go. And yeah, you might be in a bus ministry, but are you really concerned about the folks that are getting saved? Or is it just a social thing? Maybe it's in help for you. Maybe it's in the jail ministry. Maybe it's in the nursing home ministry and, oh, this is a nice thing. And we have a food bank and we give people food. Oh, man, that's special. But as a family and as a church, it's not just about socializing. It's not just about social issues. It's about seeing people saved. So are you taking advantage of every opportunity? Are you trying to witness to these little children that come in? Are you trying to witness to the parents? You say, well, I'm going to drive them out. Really? And then you'll have that blood on your hands? And you're going to stand before God and say, God, the reason I didn't witness to this family is because I thought that the little kids wouldn't come. But some of you have thought that, haven't you? And I know you gotta ask for God's leading and you gotta ask for God's direction. And I understand there is some balance, but a lot of times what we do is we sacrifice giving out the gospel so that I can have a number on my bus. And that's dead wrong. Because it is not about numbers. It's about winning people to the Lord. It's about seeing them saved. Aquila and Priscilla are a family that I think were guided by providence. They were a family under pressure. They were a family that was under pressure here because they had to make a living. But Aquila and Priscilla, it was not an accident that God led them to Corinth. And we see them get saved. They became a family concerned about seeing people saved. But notice, secondly, let's go to Romans chapter 16. We see another passage about Aquila and Priscilla. In Romans chapter 16, look at verse 3 and 4. It says, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also the churches of the Gentiles." Look at it. They are great helpers. And so what else do we see? What's a characteristic or an ingredient of a great family? We're concerned about salvation and not socializing. And we're concerned about serving and not selfishness. Look at what it says. They are great helpers, and they're willing to lay down their necks. I don't understand that phrase. I didn't have time to lay down their own necks. That just sounded different to me. All right, and I didn't have time. I'm sure Mr. Armacost and the Greek could find out, you know, some really golden nugget for us to just take home, and we could just stop right here. All right, because we would just be so filled up and just overjoyed with that nugget. We could just chew on that morsel for weeks on end. All right, but I don't have it for you. You're just going to have to, you're going to find it on your own. But it says here that they were willing to lay down their own necks, their own life. So what were they concerned about as far as a family? Others. What's going to make us a strong church? When our families are not coming here to get, but to give. So this is my challenge to you, Dad. And this doesn't matter if you have children or not. There's some of you that, man, you're past, as we said, you know, you're past the age of childbearing. And you're happy for that. Okay? I'm glad my kids are getting a little older. You know, those of you, the young couples, I know it's sweet and that little baby there. Oh, I'm so glad I'm not there. All right, I'm so happy, and I'm so happy you have them. All right, because it's good for people to have children. I had them, and I'm done with it. All right, but it's good for people to have children. All right, but some of you, you may be past that age, but guess what? As a husband and wife, what should you be doing? Should you say, you know what? I'm just going to step back because now I need the church to give to me. No, no, no. That is the wrong attitude. And as families of this church, what will make us strong is when as a whole, what are we doing? We are giving. And we are giving. And we are giving of ourselves. And in the Bible, it could be said of you, you put your name there. Man, I want to thank Aquila and Priscilla. Or I want to thank this person. Or I want to thank this person of Fairhaven. Because they are a great helper. They would lay down their own life. Can be said of you. Or are you stepping back? And as a family, you're looking at the school and saying, man, I'm glad they have a school. Because I can take that. Oh, I'm glad. Maybe it's a college student. Man, I'm glad they got a college because I'll take that. Oh, now they got Jolly 60s. I'll take that. What else do they have for me that I can take instead of turning around and saying, hey, where can I be of service? Where can I be of service? And you should raise your children, if you have family, you should raise your children to where whatever needs done. Man, I'm available. Pastor Parrish asked maybe in the youth group, hey, we need some volunteers. I'm there. It doesn't matter what he's asking for. We train each other and we help each other and we push each other what to serve. Not to be selfish. And back in our text in chapter 18, in verse 18, it says, "And Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren and sailed into Syria." And we see then that in verse 19, he came to Ephesus and left them there. So what do we see about Aquila and Priscilla? They were so servant-oriented that when Paul said, "Hey, I'm leaving and I'm going to start a church in Ephesus," that they said, "Hey, we'll go." Wow, what servants. What a heart to help. And some of you, what happens? Oh, another friend night? Oh, my word. What is up with this guy? I mean, we just got done with the mother-daughter thingy. And then the men's thingy. And now we got to have another friend thingy. I mean, what's up? All he wants us to do is bring people out. But isn't that sometimes our attitude? And we've talked about it. We've talked about it with the men. Even this summer and even in February and March, we trim back some of the work parties. You know why we trim some of the work parties? Because we're trying to think. And try not to take all your time. Why? So that when we have another friend night, you can't say, "Man, you got us here working all the time." No, I want you out in the fields. Because they're white unto harvest. We should be bringing them in and leading them to the Lord and serving. Saying, "Man, there's another opportunity to bring somebody out. To see somebody saved. Man, what can I do? Where can I serve?" Instead of saying, "What does the church have for me? What does it have to offer me now?" Have you ever, you know, when a sign of backsliding is when you start saying, "You know what, I think I need to find another church where I can get fed." Oh, really? Really? Because ever since I've been here, all we've done is try to feed you out of the Word of God. And we try to take the Bible and we challenge you to read it. And we challenge you to pray. And maybe that's why you're not liking it. Because every time that you get more into the Word of God, somebody starts convicting you. Convicting you about just sitting on the pew and not getting up off the pew and serving. We live in such a selfish society, don't we? We live in a selfish society. And parents, what you have to be careful of is that, and I was talking to the men on Thursday night about this. And men, what we have to be careful of is that we are the caveman. Ugh! It's all about me. Be careful. You're going to teach that to your children. And your children are going to see that, "Dad, you know what? Serve me." No, your children need to see you serving sometime. Your children need to see you doing. They need to see you active. Why? Because as a family, we should serve together. So you know what my challenge to you is, dads? What are you doing as a family to serve then? My challenge to you is to list it out. Every man here, it doesn't matter if you're older or younger, every person here, what are you doing in this church to serve? And if it's nothing, ask God what you should do. Because you're a selfish member then. Gimme, gimme, gimme. No, we should be serving. You see Aquila and Priscilla here, they're serving. I found this illustration. And we've heard part of it, but I thought it was interesting tracking it down. In 1858, you've heard the name, some of you, there was a man named Edward Kimball. Edward Kimball was a businessman in Boston, and he was a Sunday school teacher. He was a Sunday school teacher of older teen boys, and some of you have heard this. There was a teen boy in his Sunday school class named Dwight. That was D.L. Moody. Well, D.L. Moody got saved. But this is what's interesting. 1879, Dwight was an evangelist. He was going out doing crusades. And one crusade he had, there was a young man that was sitting out in the crowd, and he got saved. His name was Frederick. F.B. Meyer. F.B. Meyer started pastoring a small church, not doing too much. And it lit him up, this hearing D.L. Moody, and he got saved, he got fired up. And his travels brought him, and actually D.L. Moody was over in England when he met F.B. Meyer. But F.B. Meyer, his travels brought him to America, and he was preaching on a college campus. And a student walked the aisle and got saved one day, and his name was Wilbur. J. Wilbur Chapman. J. Wilbur Chapman got saved, and he went into the ministry. And then J. Wilbur Chapman ran into another man and hired him to help him on his crusades, and his name was Billy Sunday. Look at the chain there. From D.L. Moody to F.B. Meyer to J. Wilbur Chapman to Billy Sunday, all because of a Sunday school teacher who said, you know what, I can't do a lot, but you know what I can do? I can serve. And some of you sitting here, you know what should be a joy to you? It should be a joy to you. And we don't understand it, Jim. We don't understand it at all. How in the world Clint Ammon could get up here? Because we were all thinking, what a dork. But he's been out for about 10 years as an assistant. And we all thought, man, that idiot. Man, I'm glad he's leaving. Man, God's got to get a hold of what he did. And we can go up to Canada. We can, right now, this evening, James McDonald is preaching. Tonight, Daniel McDonald is out in Ogden trying to raise support. And on we could go of people that you taught in Sunday school. That you, maybe some of you in the academy, you touched their life and you were just their kindergarten teacher. And you gave them a whole bunch of worms. You thought, man, Lord, help that little rotten boy or rotten girl. But you know what? All of us can have a little part in serving. It's not just a little small part. It could be some bus kid that comes in and maybe he's just in third grade or maybe he's in sixth grade or maybe he's just a teenager and you say, man, I hope he gets saved and he comes to the knowledge of Jesus Christ and moves away. But I know I've told you this story. It was sometime a couple of years ago. My wife was in a Sam's Club. Sam's Club in Illinois. I won't tell you why. She was lining up something. Right? But she was in a Sam's Club and the manager came down and he got talking to her and he came here many years ago, at least 20, 25 years ago, and got saved. And he said, tell your church that I've been married for I don't know how many years, maybe it was 15 or 20 years, and I am married, I am saved, and I have been going to church, and it's because of you guys. Because you know what? You can have a little part in serving. And as a church, we should all be finding a place to serve. We find a place to serve. I'm thankful for Aquila and Priscilla. Because then back in Romans 16, I'll just read it. It says, likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Greet the church that is in their house. What's an ingredient of a great family? We're concerned about salvation and not socializing. We're concerned about serving and not selfishness. But when they say that the church is in their house, you know what I think? They're concerned about being sanctified and not being sold out to the world. When you set aside your house in the neighborhood and say, this is church, I'm pretty sure that everybody around knew that they were the Jesus people. They were sold out to God. They were separated. And as a family, as a dad, as a husband, that's what we should be concerned about. I am going to set my home. I'm going to set my marriage. And it's going to be facing God. And I don't care what the world thinks. I don't care that they don't like what I do. I don't care if they make fun of me. I don't care. Because look at your result. Look at what you guys have to offer me. You've got drugs and you've got alcohol. You've got rebellion. You've got divorce and you've got remarriage. And you've got babies out of wedlock. You've got all these things to offer me. And I don't want them. And dads, have some guts in your home. And hold the line when it comes to separation. Hold the line and don't sell your children out to this world. And so that means that I'm going to go to the Bible and I'm going to find out what my children should wear. I'm going to find some principles. I'm going to find out what they should listen to. And I'm going to find it in the Bible. Some of you dads, what you need to do is you need to bury yourself in the book. Dig into it. Immerse yourself in that book. And what you'll find is you will find a manual that will come out and you will not have questions. You will have answers. And you'll find that you can set your house as a church. You can set your house as God's place. And the world will take note. And in some ways, that's good because you know why? The devil will say, you know, I don't know about, I think I'm going next door. That's just a little too much battle for me right now. Because, man, they're entrenched for God. Is that you? A godly family is concerned about being sanctified. We read that this couple in Acts chapter 18, we read that this couple was in Corinth. Most of the time, we look at it and we say, oh, man, that was neat. They had a church in Corinth. I challenge you sometime to look it up. Corinth was the Las Vegas of Europe. It was wicked. That's why when you read 1st and 2nd Corinthians, some of you are like, whoa, man, they had some problems. Read the book of Corinthians and you'll see, man, there are some wild things that are going on there. Why? Because it was the Las Vegas of Europe. Of the Mediterranean world. That's where you went to party. And Aquila and Priscilla were right there and they established a church. And Paul was there and they were separated. They were sold out for God. And you and I, as dads and as husbands, we need to set our houses entrenched in for God and separated from sin and separated from the world and separated unto the Lord. Is that your house? Well, I think Paul taught them the principles of Romans 12, 1 and 2, where you're supposed to, Aquila and Priscilla, hey, let's think it through, Aquila and Priscilla. Hey, you know what? You need to present your bodies a living sacrifice. You know what, Aquila and Priscilla? I know that this is Corinth and I moved you here and it's wicked around here, but you know what? You need to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I think Paul took them aside and he taught them how to be separated unto God and sanctified. Is that your family? I read this story this afternoon, and I thought it was fitting. There was a man, and he was talking about growing up, and he said next door to him, there was a man named Bud. Bud, he said, was a good man. He was his neighbor. He said if he grew up beside him until he died in his college years. He said Bud helped his dad put a roof on his house. He assisted his dad when they poured concrete sidewalks and porches. He said his dad, Bud helped him, his dad put a roof on his patio. And then as Bud got older, he would hire this young man to mow his grass. And he said he was always generous. He would invite him up afterwards and they'd sit and talk and they'd have a Coke together. He said, this man said, I delivered his newspaper for a couple years. He was kind. He said he was an avid fisherman, and so he often would go trout fishing, and he would come up to his house. Bud would come up to their house, and he would have fish for him in the evenings when he went fishing. But he said, one thing he remembers, though, is that he didn't remember a lot as far as Bud talking about religion. But he said every year Bud would come by. Or what he did remember is he said every Sunday he would see Bud walking down the street with his Bible, going to church. And then he said every year Bud would come over and he would ask this man and his younger brother to a VBS. And he was always like, yeah, get out of here. Nah, we don't want to do that. But he said Bud always asked and always asked. And he said one time there was a special meeting, a friend thing. And they were having a special meeting and Bud came over and said, oh, come on, we're going to do this or that. Man, you got to come. And he said, for some reason, he said yes. And he went to that evening service and he said that night he accepted Christ as a Savior. And he said, this man, given his testimony, he said, my life had never been the same. And then he continued on. And he said, to my knowledge, Bud never taught a Sunday school class, never preached a sermon, never held a position of leadership in the church. He was an usher, and he was a faithful usher, but he simply lived a life faithful to God. And he said, I got saved because of Bud. As we come, and I thought of that illustration because it kind of went with the beginning. Because here we got Aquila and Priscilla. And yeah, they're mentioned in the Bible. And maybe there's some accolades there. But as you read their life, there's nothing that went like, yeah! But you know what? They were faithful. And they were concerned about getting people saved. And they were concerned about serving. And they were concerned about being separated. And that's why they had a great family. It's not too hard to have a great family. The Bible gives you instruction. And as a husband and wife, how are you serving God? As a family, where are you serving? Or are you a give-me Christian in our church? No. Let's change it. And let's see what I and my family can give to this church. That's what will make us a great church. When all of us together start having that mindset, and we understand then that, you know what? It's not about what I can get from this church. It's what I can give. And what you'll find is that it is more blessed to give than to receive. Let's have heads bowed, eyes closed this evening.